Chapter 1. Stone Barrington and Dino Bichetti entered Elaine's on a Sunday evening, and drinks were brought to them immediately. They took their usual table, and Elaine came over and sat down. "You two are oddly dressed," she said, "for you. What's going on?" "Oh," Stone said, "we delivered our sons to Yale for their freshman year this afternoon, and we're dressed for humping boxes of their gear up to their apartment." Elaine nodded. "So the boys are off?"
"They're off," Dino said.
"No wonder you both look so glum," Elaine said. Stone looked at Dino. "Do I look glum?"
"Yeah,"
Dino said. "So do you." "You're empty nesters now," Elaine chortled. "Never thought I'd see the day." Stone shook his head. 9 months ago, I didn't have a son, at least not one I'd ever met. Now I don't have a son again." Elaine reached over and patted his cheek. "You haven't lost a son," she said. "You've gained a college boy." She got up and continued her rounds at the regulars' tables. "I guess that's one way to look at it," Stone said. "Do you think he'll ever come home again?"
"Probably not," Dino replied. "You've seen the last of that kid."
"Oh, shut up. You're in the same spot."
"Nah," Dino said. "You're worse off. At least I'm not used to having Ben around the house all the time. He's been at prep school for 4 years, and then his mother yanked him to her place every chance she got. This afternoon, why didn't you raise the subject of visits home?"
"I thought about it," Stone said, "but I was afraid I wouldn't like the answer. After all, the kid's got the money he was paid for his film, which is more than I had a year ago, so he doesn't need me for anything."
"He just doesn't need you for buying stuff," Dino pointed out. "He still needs a father."
"You really think so?"
"Ben needs me, I'm sure of that. Why wouldn't Peter need you, what with his mother dead and all?"
"He's got Hattie. They're sleeping together, you know." Dino laughed aloud.
"No shit! What were you doing your freshman year?"
Stone shrugged. "Fucking my brains out, if I recall correctly."
"Actually, you continued to do that, at least until you and Arrington got married."
Stone managed a smile. "If anything, the activity increased after that."
"I'm getting worried about you, kiddo," Dino said. "You're gonna have to get back in the saddle pretty soon, or you're gonna forget how."
"Yeah, I think about that a lot. It's just that, well, it's like not being hungry at dinner time. I just don't have an appetite." Dino turned and watched as a very pretty brunette in a short skirt came through the door and took a seat at the bar, crossing her long legs.
"Doesn't that do anything for you?"
"Sort of," Stone replied. "I mean, I remember what it was like, the way you remember how you roller skated when you were a kid, but it just isn't all that appealing." Dino felt for Stone's pulse and looked at his watch.
"Your vital signs seem normal."
"That's something, I guess."
"Look who's here,"
Dino said, nodding toward the door. Stone turned in time to see a tall redhead in a well-cut pantsuit enter the restaurant. She headed for their table and sat down. "Hello, sailors," she said, leering a little. Stone leaned over and kissed her. "Hello, Holly. What brings you to town?" Dino kissed her, too.
"Same question here."
"Agency business," Holly Barker replied. She was an assistant deputy director for the CIA. "I hope you guys remember that you're still under contract to us as consultants."
"How could we forget?" Stone asked. "Lance keeps reminding us."
Lance Cabot was Holly's boss, deputy director for operations, or DDO.
"Well, fellas, you're about to get the call again."
Stone slumped. "Now what?"
"I can't tell you," Holly replied.
"Can't tell us what?"
Dino asked.
"That's what I can't tell you, dummy," she said.
"What kind of deal is this?" Stone asked.